Being here for the next 9 years is something that was important to me. I wanted to show my commitment to the Oilers organization, the fans, the city. Show that that I'm in it for the long haul, and I want to win here. This is a city that I think has such a rich history, and it's so important that we bring that back. And we got a taste of it last year, and we certainly have some unfinished business. So with the help of all the great teammates and the management, the coaches, and all that, I certainly believe we will win here.
So the biggest story in the hockey world has been signed, sealed, delivered, and now put to bed. That man, Connor McDavid, 8 years, $100 million as he signs officially with the Oilers. Yesterday, came in a little lower than the initial salary reports, because remember, 13.25 was kind of initially what we were hearing out there. Now he'll be under Edmonton control for the next 9 years, and of course a big part of the Battle of Alberta for the next 9 years. We welcome you back to the Big Show. My name is Pat Steinberg. Here at Cowboys, and we join with our good friend on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline in Edmonton. He is the host of Oilers Hockey on 630. Chad Reed Wilkins joins us right now. Hello, Mr. Wilkins. Happy Stampede from us down here. We heard $13.25 million to start. It ends up being $12.5 when it's all said and done. What did you make of Connor McDavid's cap number after the signing yesterday?
Well, to be honest with you, Pat, I think it's a discount. And I know that is going to sound a little weird talking about an average annual salary of $12.5 million a year. But, if he would have asked for 15, which is the max you could have asked for, could have the Edmonton Oilers really said no? The player, obviously, and the agent, Jeff Jackson, had a lot of power in this negotiation, but I think they reached a number that's obviously going to make him the highest paid guy in terms of the average, and clearly, obviously, the highest paid Oiler ever. But sure, they could have pushed for a higher ceiling, but as they emphasized yesterday, McDavid wanted to leave a little bit more of cap flexibility for the team, and his priority is his teammates and winning the Stanley Cup. And that's who he is. That's who he's been for a long time, going back to when he was a little kid. It's interesting how it's structured too, Pat, because of the $100 million, $86 million is in the form of signing bonuses that he'll get each July 1st throughout the deal. So if there is a lockout down the road or whatever, something that stops the season, on September 15th of, I can't remember what year the CBA expires. Is it 2020 or is it 2021? But
it's
down
too
the road.
Soon. That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. It's too soon that we might have to be talking about it again. He'll already have got a lump sum on July 1st of that season. So, it's interesting the way it was structured, but if the cap goes up, even incrementally, it's going to leave the Oilers more room going forward. And if the cap happens to shoot up, in 5 or 6 years by about the halfway point of the deal, it could really leave the Oilers a lot of room. Right now, if the cap is 75 for next season, he's taking up just over 17%. If it gets up into the 80s, he could be down around, 14, 13% of the cap. So that would be a pretty big bonus for Edmonton.
It's funny because we were having that conversation in the segment before. How much of a... Well, first of all, how's it going over in Edmonton? My take is, yes, McDavid could have gotten less... Sorry, could have gotten more and could have leveraged himself the max if he really, really wanted. I just don't know if we need to be talking about this incredible solid or incredible favor he's done the organization by only signing at 12.5. Like, he's still getting his. So, yes, fully realize he could have gotten more, but I still think he's getting very, very well compensated. But how's it going over among Oilers fans? Like, is this being looked at as him doing the organization a big solid?
Well, it's going over very well. I don't know if it's necessarily seen by a lot of fans as him doing a big solid. I just think they're relieved he's locked up. And I mean, it was going to happen, but I think for a lot of people, just to actually see it, to see the number, to see those 8 years, to see that it's 9 more years counting the final year of his ELC, I think some people are like, yeah, maybe there's an extra million or two per season that Shirelli's going to have to play with on the cap. Okay, that's great. I got get the occasional text to my show saying, well, this is going to handcuff the Oilers going forward. But, I mean, the counter to that is it's a pretty good problem to have, to be paying a 20-year-old leading scorer Hart Trophy winner a lot of money, because we all know where the franchise has been, 10 years out of the playoffs, 8 of those 10 years distantly out of the playoffs, right? So what would you sooner be discussing in the summer? That maybe whether Connor McDavid's going to get 12, 13, 12 and a half, or 13 and a quarter, or would you need to do more? Do you want to be discussing the 11 players that need to be changed to make the Oilers even a remotely contending team? Because that's right. A lot of the discussion we were having in recent years. So I think most fans are thrilled just to have them. I mean, and it was funny too, the discussion on my talk show last night got into a lot of where would they be without him? How lucky were they remembering the day McDavid won the draft lottery? We went back to the old body language discussion a little bit. It's nice that those days are behind, I think, the fan base now. We're not forgotten, but hopefully not to be dealt with again for maybe a long time, maybe ever, hopefully. And you talk about what's the ceiling for Connor McDavid. To me, that's the thing. What is the ceiling for him? 100 points in his second year. A lot of guys peak offensively in their early 20s, but they become better all-around players between about the ages of 25 and 33. And he could be an Oiler for that entire time, Pat.
Yeah. Was there ever a lot of consternation, whether it be you personally or the fans that you speak to on a regular basis? Was there ever a worry that he wouldn't sign the max term? Was there ever a worry that it only is 5 or 6 and that, geez, he might be positioning himself to leave as soon as he can in free agency? How much of a conversation was that?
Not too much. I honestly, Pat, there's more around that around Leon Draisaitl, because I think there was certainly talk that, okay, well, could Connor maybe sign for 4 or 5 as sort of a bridge and then look for an even bigger contract at that point. I think more of that conversation now is about Leon Draisaitl, because I think there's a little bit of impatience. I think people just want them both locked up and not to worry about it. I mean, Draisaitl will get signed. And as Peter Shirelli has said, even if there is an offer sheet, he's going to match it. So Draisaitl's not going anywhere. I think there's a little more discussion now about Draisaitl. What's their cap number going to be combined, right? So what combined percentage will the two stars take up? And, is it going to drag out? Could there possibly be not some bad blood, but some discomfort with the negotiations? Because you hear a lot of rumors. I think Draisaitl is probably going to sign for 5 years and $40 million or very close to that ballpark. I just think this could happen later in the summer. I mean, he's not, he's in Germany and there's all that to consider, right, as well. But I think, there's a lot of people concerned about an offer sheet for Draisaitl. There won't be one. There will not be one, and if there is one, it'll be quickly matched by the Oilers anyway.
But you're not. Reed Wilkins is with us, by the way. He is the host of Oilers Hockey on 630 CHED. You're not expecting or not as confident about an 8-year deal with Draisaitl, hey?
No, I don't think it will be. I think it'll probably be 5. Yeah.
And so what are the reasons for that? Is that strictly just a kind of a independent contractor play? What would the reasons be for him not going the full shebang?
Well, I think probably to see how he develops as a player over the next few years, and then maybe there's an even bigger deal after that, right? And I just think because Connor's the priority, so if the Oilers are only going to give out one long contract, as good as Draisaitl is, and he would have been the top scorer on several teams in the league, obviously many teams in the league, Connor's still the priority. And Shirelli never made a secret of that. I mean, that's Shirelli and McClellan as the head coach never try to say like everything is equal. This isn't Dallas Eakins, where in the preseason farmhands got to play on a line with Taylor Hall. You know what I mean? Like it's been very delineated. These are the important guys. This is the center of the team. So it's always been Connor first, Draisaitl second, and then other signings. Now, it didn't quite turn out that way because they signed Chris Russell before July 1st, but,
right,
but that's always has been priority. So I think that the Connor deal was a priority, and I think the fallout from that maybe will be that Leon gets a shorter deal.
Okay, one more thought on the ice when it comes to the Oilers or about the hockey team itself. What are now the priorities? Obviously, Draisaitl, we know. But aside from Draisaitl, what other things do the Oilers need to tackle before next season gets underway?
I don't think they're going to do much, Pat. I mean, Shirelli has said that he doesn't want to you know, sign veteran guys and parachute them into the depth chart above players who took steps forward last season. Now, I understand the risk to that, but I think he's, like he said in one of his recent availabilities, we were within one win of the conference finals with youth, so we're going to stick with the youth. So I think he's showing faith in not just the young stars that we've been talking about, the Matthew Benning, Drake Kajula, Darnell Nurse, you know, Talbot's not as young as those guys, but showing faith in Talbot and Nett, you know, bringing back pretty much the same defense. Even Eric Driver was resigned. I mean, here's the thing. The team, after being horrible for so long and looking like it needed to be torn apart every summer, just finished in eighth place and was maybe a bad call away from going to the second round. So I don't think he wants to tell the team, okay, everybody, thanks for all your hard work. Thanks for taking a huge step forward. But now I'm going to mess around with that depth chart. I think he wants to say, a lot of you guys have found roles. A lot of you guys became more comfortable with who you are as NHLers. Come back and keep working on that. And I'm not going to sign Jaromir Jagr for one year. So Zach Cassie and Drake Kajula and Anton Slepyshev all get pushed down in the depth chart. I think he's going to let this team start pretty much the way it is. If there are more injuries or some guys not being able to continue their development, then maybe you might see some changes in season. But I honestly don't expect much else from the Oilers this summer.
He is Reed Wilkins. He's the host of Oilers Hockey on 630 CHED. And I know you got a roll here in a couple of minutes, so I wanted to leave some time for the reason why you've got a roll. You are at the rink right now. It is Dave Semenko's memorial today. And I think you've got a unique perspective on this. You are an Edmonton-born and raised guy. You were a lifelong Oilers fan growing up. You were right there for the heydays of the Oilers in the 80s and the Battle of Alberta. And you knew, you know, as well as anybody else, how important Dave Semenko was to that Oilers team and how much of a cult hero he was. Just a thought on the life of Dave Semenko now that his memorial is today.
Well, it's interesting. From interviewing people last week and interacting with listeners, just how many people talked about his sense of humor and his how much he just loved talking to people and telling stories. There was a great text that came into the show about when the texter was a teenager, he had a friend who suffered a pretty bad back injury and was in the hospital, and Dave was there visiting like little kids, and they approached him and said, could you come talk to our buddy? And he was like, oh, absolutely. And he went over there and talked to him for 10 minutes. People who remember just seeing him at, you know, whether it was a signing or grabbing a pint after the game or whatever, he was always very willing to talk. His teammates talking about his dry wit, how funny he was. And he did work as a broadcaster on 630 CHED in the 90s for a couple of years as well. And so he's in his last year here, the last season, he was an ambassador for the Oilers, which basically just involved meeting fans, meeting sponsors, telling stories, mingling with people. And everybody says just how much he loved that. So as much as his on-ice toughness is going to be remembered and celebrated, I think he's going to be more remembered today for his sense of humor, for his warmth away from the rink.
Good stuff, my man. We'll let you go. I know that today is going to be kind of one of those somber days, but one of those celebratory days, if you know what I mean. Like, you're celebrating a life, but it's also somber. I know it's going to be one of those days, and I know this one for you professionally and personally is probably going to be a day that you'll remember. So we'll let you go. I appreciate you taking some time with us this afternoon, and we'll catch up soon, Reader.
Thanks for having me on, Pat.
He's Reed Wilkins. He is the host of Oilers Hockey on 630 CHED. He joins us on the South Street Burger guest hotline. Taste the new spicy Piri Piri signature burger, a 100% Angus beef, chicken, or turkey burger cooked with spicy Piri Piri. SouthStreetBurger.com.